Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Paula Giordana, DJ, producing. Hope your Tuesday is going well. Thank you for giving us a listen. I don't take my right to vote for granted. None of us should. I remember growing up hearing about Jim Crow, and it can be a foreign concept to some of us. Others are all too familiar with Jim Crow. Dan Rather, actually, the former CBS anchorman, wrote something that put things into perspective. He writes, Jim Crow was a series of laws written without shame that publicly pronounced white supremacy and strict separation of the races. It was institutionalized racism backed by law. The intent? White Americans shouldn't have to share power or cede power to people who don't look like they do, specifically African Americans. He argues there are still echoes of Jim Crow today, everything from housing policy, education reform, and the fundamental right to vote, which right now appears to be under attack. Legislators in 43 states have introduced more than 250 bills to restrict voting. And today the Supreme Court heard a case about sustaining voter restrictions in the state of Arizona. The fundamental right to vote, Jim Crow. We have questions. Stephen Belton is president and CEO of Urban League Twin Cities. Stephen, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Paul. Nice to be with you. I understand Giordana's with us this week, which is great to...
Hi, Stephen.
Hey, yes, Giordana.
Thank you, sir. Hi,
yes.
Sir.
What, you know, there's so much of an effort right now, it seems, to restrict voting. I mean, to me, fraud is one thing. If you can prove that there was fraudulent voting, okay. Yeah, that's... None of us can or should condone fraud. But the fundamental right to vote, if you're an American citizen, what goes through your mind when you see these attempts at voter suppression? And is this an echo of Jim Crow?
I believe it is an echo of Jim Crow. In fact, it's probably stronger than an echo. It's probably Jim Crow attempting to resurrect itself. And it's disturbing. At the heart of all of this, is not simply a white supremacist agenda. It's really a little more insidious than that. It's that the truth is, the reality is that the proportion of white voters in the United States is shrinking. The numbers of white voters are shrinking, and it will continue to do so over the next several decades. The demographers have been saying for a number of years now that have projected that the United States would no longer be a majority minority company sometime around mid-century, and it's actually going to happen before then. And there are those who are in power who feel threatened by that, who are threatened by the idea that black and brown people will have a greater say, will have a greater voice, and that their own authority, they feel and believe, will be diminished by that. And so what you're seeing in these voter restriction laws are desperate efforts by those who are in power to be able to hold on to power. These are anti-democratic efforts. They are an offense to anybody who believes in a republic form of government. I'm saying republic, small r, not Republican, but who believes in a republic, who believes in the sanctity, the holiness, the right of every individual who is eligible to vote. And it's a front to them. These are efforts that are designed to diminish and reduce the number of people who are voting rather than try to get everyone who is eligible to have their say. And at the heart is really a rejection of the idea of a majority rule. These are efforts that are founded on the idea that as long as we are the majority, as long as the majority looks like us, then it's okay. Mm-hmm. But if that's not the case, then we want to change it.
Stephen, let's talk specifically. I was looking at some stats from the Brennan Center. They have found 106 bills in 28 states that would restrict voting access. That is three times as many bills to restrict voting access as this time last year. You know, when people say, oh, Jim Crow, that's a thing of the past. Can you get specific with us as to what exactly we could be seeing or maybe not even noticing that is a racist bill or something that would restrict voting access for black folks?
Yeah, well, of course, none of these bills have Jim Crow's name attached to them, and none of them are going to be so audacious or bold as to call themselves, racially restrictive voting measures. To the contrary, they couch them in terms of trying to protect voter security. But let me give you an example of that 108 that you mentioned. Actually, it's 250 now. Yes. There are seven bills in the Minnesota legislature. There are four in the Minnesota House and three in the Minnesota Senate. Each of them is targeting toward trying to reduce the or to require voter ID, which is an issue that Minnesotans voted on, several years ago and rejected the idea of voter ID. This is one of the best states in the country for him. It generally has one of the least restrictive voter procedures, and you can vote without an ID at the polls. But we also have some of the safest and most secure elections in the country, and we have very robust turnout. But these seven bills, again, four in the House and three in the Senate, would require some form of voter identification. And I suppose people are going to ask, well, what's wrong with that idea? Well, the idea first is that, you know, it's a problem in search of it's a solution in search of a problem. We don't have a problem with fraud in general in our elections here in Minnesota and actually in across the country. They are remarkably free of fraud. And so, and second, because it has the effect, it has a chilling effect. It has the effect of discouraging people. It also unfairly lands, these voter ID requirements unfairly land on black and brown people who are less likely to be able to have ID with them, or in particularly immigrant populations, people who are afraid that their immigration status will be challenged at the polls, even though they are lawful residents and entitled to vote. And so that's the kind of insidious measures that you're seeing. Across the country in places like Georgia, they're even worse. And so they're trying to hold back on or roll back provisions that allow for people to vote by mail or allow people to drop off their ballots in public locations. I saw one provision that required that you could only drop off your ballot at a drop box that was attached to a county registration facility, which is going to, as you can imagine, in greater, you know, in outstate areas and rural areas and in lots of parts of the city, they don't have, you know, government facilities. And so it's basically restricting the places that people can lawfully vote.
Stephen, I may be missing something here, and forgive me if this is a naive question. I'm not a politician, but rather than restricting people's ability to vote and making people jump through hoops, wouldn't it just make more sense to come up with policies that a majority of people like? What am I missing?
I don't think you're missing anything except that you're suggesting, you're saying basically there's an easy way and there's a hard way. And I think the easy way is the low-hanging fruit for some of these policymakers is to simply restrict the number of people who are voting or to restrict the number of people who come into the tent rather than providing an incentive for people to want to join your tent. And so I think you're right, and I don't think you're missing anything, and that's probably why you're not a politician, Paul, because you because you can do the math and because you're trying to make sense.
Some of them are so obvious, though, Stephen. I was reading about one of them. In fact, of course, it was in Georgia, that would make it illegal to bring people water that are waiting online to vote. I mean, it's so obvious. It makes you just want to, I don't know, makes me want to punch somebody because it's so ridiculous.
Well, yeah, that's a great example of it. And so, you know, in Minnesota on Election Day, you know, assuming it's in the fall, we don't really need, you know, we're not parched, you know, we're not standing out in the heat, but there are lots of parts of the country where it's very hot in October and in November and in other parts, you know, when they have elections. And these, in the bill that you're referring to, would prohibit people from providing not only water, but nourishment to someone who was standing in line. And I imagine that somebody projected that, well, maybe they're trying to influence the voters when they do that. Wouldn't it be, this is kind of Paul's question, wouldn't it just be simpler to outlaw or to monitor, to make sure that people are not canvassing while people are standing in line, rather than prohibiting the basic human right to be able to nourish yourself and to provide some, you know, some liquid? You know, it's a little silly at some point, but it just drives the extent to which people are willing to implement measures, or at least to try to pass laws that prohibit people from voting and make it difficult for people to vote. I think, frankly, this is going to backfire, Jordana and Paul. I think this is going to backfire. It backfired in the 2020 election. There were extreme efforts in the state of Georgia alone. Over 400,000 people were dumped from the polls, from the voter registration rolls in the year before the election, which is what prompted Stacey Abrams there to create her voting rights and voter registration effort. And people came out in droves. They were angry, but they were angry at their vote or their franchise being threatened and attempted to take away from them, and they registered properly and they voted. I think this is going to have a similar effect. At least I hope it will.
Me too.
Stephen Belton, Urban League Twin Cities, we appreciate your perspective and your voice, and we'll check back with you next Tuesday. Thank you, sir.
Looking forward to it. Be well, both.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.